Well, good morning, ECCC. We are thankful that you have chosen to worship with us this morning on this special day, Mother's Day. And as the video just showed a moment ago, we think our moms are pretty special. They are sometimes superhuman, maybe, and have powers that none of the rest of us have for sure. So we celebrate you today, moms, and it's a special day here at the church. Many years we'd have flowers or plants or things like that for you. Not able to do that this year for obvious reasons, but we thought it'd be nice to be out in the prayer garden today and have our service out here in honor of you, and maybe just make you feel like you're getting a flower or a plant or something like that today. But we celebrate you, we want to have a special sermon just for you today, because I think this story that we're sharing can help moms no matter your age. You can be a young mother, you can be a mother that's maybe been a parent for many years and a grandparent now maybe, or maybe even great-grandparent. It'll help you. I don't know how many of you remember the game show on TV called To Tell the Truth. In fact, I think they've done a reboot of it with Anthony Anderson now. But basically, there'd be this panel of celebrities, and all three of these celebrities would claim to be the same person, and only one of them was the real person. Only one of them was telling the truth, and this panel would interrogate all three of the people to try to get to the bottom of who the real person was. And at the end of the time that they were given to ask the questions, then the real one would stand up. Well, in one of the defining moments in the reign of King Solomon, the wise king had to identify the real mother in a really tricky, really difficult situation over a living child, and he got the real mother to identify herself, to take a stand, and when she stood up for her child, she showed herself to be the true mother. And it's in moments like that where it seems like moms shine the most, and maybe we could put it this way: when the chips are down, that's when real mothers stand up. But I want us to take this story into consideration. It's found in 1 Kings chapter 3, and I want us to learn three important truths about mothers that I think apply not only to the ladies in this particular story today, but to the ladies in our lives who are mothers or who are maybe going to be a mother someday. Here's the first thing we need to understand. Mothers do not have to be perfect. Nor will they ever be. As much as we love them, as superhuman as they are, oftentimes they're never going to be perfect. And so you should stop striving to be perfect, because it's a level that you'll never reach. First Kings chapter 3, verse 16 through 20 says this: "Now two prostitutes came to the king and stood before him. One of them said, 'My lord, this woman and I live in the same house. I had a baby while she was there with me. And the third day after my child was born, this woman also had a baby, and we were alone, and there was no one in the house but the two of us. During the night, this woman's son died because she laid on him. So she got up in the middle of the night and took my son from my side while I, your servant, was asleep, and she put him by her breast and put her dead son by my breast.'" Well, real mothers are not perfect, and I think part of the reason is, really, moms, you're never prepared. No matter how much prep you do getting ready to become a mother, you're never really prepared for it. You can read all the books of what to expect when you're expecting. You can go to websites. You can talk to doctors. You can have mothers' groups or circles where you talk about things. But you really don't know what you're doing until it happens. And then you find yourself in the middle of it, and sometimes it's difficult. I know when Stacy and I were newly married, well, we'd been married for a couple years, and we were talking about family and so on and so forth, and we were starting our family. In fact, it's been 23 years ago this weekend. Tomorrow is Nick's birthday. He'll turn 23, and he was actually born on Mother's Day, 10:43 at night. It almost wasn't Mother's Day. It was almost May 12th, but May 11th, 1997, 10:43 p.m., he was born just under the wire on Mother's Day. In fact, it reminds me of a story that as Nick was being born, they took him by a C-section, and I was joking with the doctor and said, you know, I can't believe we couldn't hold out for another couple hours. You know, it's Mother's Day today, and now I'm going to have to go get her a gift because it's Mother's Day. And she's a mom now. And the doctor looked at me and he said, well, she's already been a mom for 9 months. That's true. Guys, if that's your situation and you have someone that's expecting and you haven't gotten them a Mother's Day gift because that baby hasn't been born yet, not speaking to anyone in particular today, but if that's you, you might want to consider taking care of that because she's already a mom. But anyway, here are some natural questions, or there are some natural questions about our readiness to be parents. You know, looking back on it, no matter how much you prepare yourself, you're not ready. We were not ready. No one ever really is. In fact, we're still trying to figure it out. You know, we've got one that's graduating from college, or already has graduated from college just over Christmas break, and we've got one that's graduating from high school here in just a few weeks. But here's what we've learned as parents. We're still trying to figure it out. You know, God has given us the ability to accomplish what we need to accomplish, but we don't do it right. We're not always perfect. God gives us the ability to do what we could never do on our own. And understand that, moms. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to strive to live up to what some other mom might be, or what they might appear to be, or maybe what they look like on TV or in a television show or something like that. But here's the deal. They do have to stand up when the chips are down, you know? You got to be there for your kids. One can study all there is to study about being a mother, but the truth will remain that she's not ready until she's in the process. In other words, you can't learn to swim if you're not in the water, as someone once put it. But anyway, you just have to do it, and you have to trust in God, and you have to rely on God that He's going to give you what you need. Now, there are some people who are not perfect, like the ladies in our story, the two moms in our story. They're not perfect. They're far from perfect. Bible says they were prostitutes, actually. There might be some of you out there that maybe you made poor choices. Maybe you're a mom because you made a poor choice. I want to encourage you by saying, just because you made maybe a poor choice in the past, that doesn't mean that God can't take the situation and use it for good. Romans 8:28 tells us that, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who've been called according to His purpose. So if you're sitting out there today and you're like, well, man, you know, I shouldn't even be a mom yet. Yeah, you should. God gave you that child, and regardless of the circumstance, He gave you that child for a reason. And so rest in Him, trust in Him, lean on Him, and allow Him to help you be the mom that you need to be. Circumstances might not be perfect. You might not do everything right. But moms are stretched in so many different ways, you know. And because of that, they're not perfect. They don't do everything right. You know, physically, they have to adapt their bodies to give birth and to nurse the child. And really, they're never the same after that. And emotionally, they extend their love. And so a lot of times they're emotionally spent. Socially, they have to alter their activities and their commitments. And intellectually, they have to extend their understanding of children. And spiritually, they have to lean on God more than they ever have. But they're not perfect, because they usually, start out with some imperfections in their lives anyway. You know, Phil Wisenhunt said this: the most important occupation on earth for a woman is to be a real mother to her children. It does not have much glory to it. There's a lot of grit and grime, but there is no greater place of ministry, position, or power than that of a mother. Moms, don't ever underestimate the ministry and the calling that God has placed on your life. And even if you're not perfect, even on your best day, you're not perfect, understand that God can use that, and He can bring about great things for you and for your child if you trust in Him. Second thing we see about this is mothers get to know their children. Here's what it says in verse 21. The next morning I got up to nurse my son, and he was dead. But when I looked at him closely in the morning light, I saw that it wasn't the son that I'd born. The other woman said, "No, the living one is my son, the dead one is yours." But the first one insisted, "No, the dead one is yours, the living one is mine." And so they argued before the king. Verse 23, the king said, "This one says my son is alive and your son is dead, while that one says, 'No, your son is dead and mine is alive.'" Well, King Solomon had it figured out, how to see who the true mother was. But before we get to that, we need to look at what the real mother did before this ever happened. She knew her kid. She examined her child. She knew that this was her child. You know, sometimes it's hard to tell who your, you know, if it's not your kid and you're looking at two babies, you know, and you really can't tell which one is which, because sometimes they look a lot alike, you know, and that child is born and it's got an egg-shaped head and it's got splotchy skin all over the place and all this kind of stuff. And you're just like, man, that just looks like the other one. But the mom looks at it and it's like, that's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen in the world. And I think that's what this mother had done. She had examined her child so much. She knew her child so well that she knew that other one was not hers, you know. From the earliest moments at birth, she had spent time with that kid. She knew it was hers, you know. I think that I'm reminded of the song that Tim Menzies wrote called "Mama Knows," down by the country group Shenandoah. You know, mom just knows. She knows her kid. And I think that's what happened here. This mother, the real mother, knew that this was not her kid. As similar as newborns may appear sometimes, she knew there was a difference. And so her mother, or the mother, the real mother, was going to keep her son because she knew him well enough to detect a fraud. And experience tells us that mothers know their kids. You think about it. You know when your kid's not feeling well. You know when something's wrong with your kid. You know when they should be doing something else. And you know that because you spent time with them and you teach them and you just train them in such a way that you just know your kids. My mother taught me a lot of things. It reminds me of what I found this week that someone said their mom taught them. Someone put it this way: their mom taught me a lot of things that only a mom can teach. My mother taught me about anticipation when she said, "Just wait till your father gets home." My mother taught me about receiving: "You're going to get it when your father gets home." My mother taught me to meet a challenge: "What were you thinking? Answer me when I'm talking to you. Don't talk back to me." How many of you have ever been through that scenario before? My mother taught me about logic: "Because I said so, that's why." Or I like this one: "If you fall out of that tree and break both of your legs, don't come running to me." Mom taught me about how to become an adult: "If you don't eat your vegetables, you'll never grow up." Mom taught me about genetics: "You are just like your father." How many of you ever heard that one? My mother taught me about my roots: "Well, do you think you were born in a barn?" My mother taught me about justice: "One day you'll have kids and I hope they turn out to be just like you." My mother taught me about religion: "You better pray that comes out of the carpet." My mother taught me about time travel: "If you don't straighten up, I'm going to knock you into the middle of next week." I heard that one way too many times. My mother taught me about foresight: "Make sure you wear clean underwear just in case you're ever in an accident." I don't understand why that's so important, but everybody says it. My mother taught me about contortionism: "Will you just look at the dirt on the back of your neck?" Think about that one for a moment. How do you do that? My mother taught me about the circle of life. And you've probably heard this one as well: "I brought you into this world and I can take you out of it." Moms get to know their kids because they teach us. They're there for us. They pour into us. And how many times have you found yourself saying these same things? Get to know your kids. And then mothers consider their children before they think of themselves. They put their kids ahead of themselves. I know my mom did that. Your mom's done that as well, I'm sure. Listen to what happens in this story. Verse 24. Then the king said, "Bring me a sword." So they brought a sword for the king. He then gave an order, cut the living child in two and give half to one and half to the other. The woman whose son was alive was filled with compassion for her son and said to the king, "Please, my lord, give her the living baby. Don't kill him." But the other said, "Neither I nor you shall have him. Cut him in two." And the king gave his ruling, "Give the living baby to the first woman. Don't kill him. She's his mother." When all Israel heard the verdict the king had given, they held the king in awe because they saw that he had wisdom from God to administer justice. Real mothers do not put their own desires ahead of their children often. Man, I'm just so thankful for the moms that sacrifice. I've watched it in my own mother. I've watched it in my wife as she has raised our children. Going without so that children can have what they need. Maybe not even what they need, but just what she knows is going to bless them. We see a difference in the two moms in this story. One mother got it. Even though she wasn't perfect, she got it. The other one, gosh, not only did she lay on her baby and kill it, but then she was willing to have the other one killed as well. She didn't get it, you know. Mothers who stand up for the good of their children, they put their own interests aside, their own personal ambitions, their own luxury, their own comforts, things like that. They're heroes. You know, they're heroes, and it's important to understand, moms, that even though you're not perfect, having a child doesn't necessarily make you a mother, maybe biologically, but rearing the child, raising the child is more important than giving birth to the child. I mean, I know you have to give birth for the child to get here, but what you do after that is so vitally important. You know, when it appeared that the one mother's choice was reduced to giving the child up or seeing it altogether destroyed, the real mom, she stood up and she said, "No, don't kill it. Just give it to her. I can't stand the thought of my child being killed. I'd rather go without my child in my presence and be raised by that woman than for my child to be destroyed." She stood up when the chips were down. She embraced the sacrifice for the good of her boy. She understood that children also need God's boundaries and God's protection and all of these things that God has placed in people's lives so that they can have a right relationship with Him, so that they can flourish and prosper. You know? Let me share with you what I think, and as I begin to wrap up here, what I think are some boundaries that God has placed in us. You know, a lot of times we think that God has just given us a bunch of rules, the Ten Commandments, all these restrictions, just take our fun away because He's this old God, this old man God that just doesn't want us to enjoy life. But I believe God provides the boundary of family because He loves us. He instituted the family unit as a boundary because He knows that that's where the child can flourish the most. Outside of the bonds of a fellowship with God and the bonds of marriage, the family is the most basic unit of community, and God has placed limits within that family, and He expects us to live by those units. And mothers need this boundary and need the order that God calls for to flourish in this. Don't look at the boundary of a family as a restriction, but as a blessing to protect us. God also provides the boundary of fatherhood. A child needs a father as well as a mother. Now, I know there's situations. We have single moms who maybe dad's not in the picture, or maybe they are just a little bit. If a woman is unmarried or maybe even is widowed, understand that God's there and He wants to be the father. So let Him. He'll help shape the child. You know, don't just think badly and think, "Well, I blew it and this is a mistake and God can't bless this." Yes, He can. He sure can if you give it to Him. And then God provides the boundary of the church. The local church is another level of community. A strong, healthy church influence is vital to raising children. It helps the mother reinforce what she's teaching at home, and it also teaches her as she is involved in the life of the church as well. And so the child learns and begins to respect God's word and to pray and to be able to share the gospel as they grow older. In many cases, a lack of family and fatherhood can partially be overcome within the boundaries of the church. Number four, God provides the boundary of morality. Right and wrong are way too loosely defined in way too many homes in our society. The boundaries that God gives in morality are the standard that helps a mom to choose to do the right thing and to impart this ability to her children. And so live by the moral code of Scripture that God has given us, and don't waver from that, moms. Don't worry about what's popular. Don't worry about what other moms or other families might be doing. You raise your child based on the moral code that's found in Scripture. And God provides the boundary of compassion. There's nothing like the love of a mother. There's nothing like the compassion of a mother except the love and the compassion of God. And He loves you, and He cares for you, and He wants to be there for you. Moms, maybe you're struggling today. Are you trying to do it on your own? Or have you turned it over to God? I encourage you, if you are trying to do it on your own, stop. Stop trying to be perfect and let the perfection of Jesus Christ enter your life so that you can live by the moral standard that God has given you, and you can understand that you're under the grace of God, and even on your best day, you're going to blow it. Maybe you're out there and you're not a mom. Maybe you're not even a female. And you're just struggling through life. You need Jesus. He'll help you. If that's you today and you want to surrender your life to Christ, I encourage you to do that. I encourage you to confess Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God, to repent of your sins, to be baptized into Him for the washing away of your sins. And the Bible says when you do that, the gift of the Holy Spirit will come to live inside of you and will guide you and will give you peace. If you've not done that, I cannot encourage you enough to consider that today. Stop trying to do it on your own. You don't have to be a mom. You're a guy today, and you're imperfect as well. Let the perfection of Jesus Christ be upon you by surrendering your life to Him. Moms, we love you. We're praying for you, and we hope that you have a wonderfully blessed day. Everyone else, maybe you're out there today and you want to make that decision. Would you get a hold of us? Would you contact us? We'd love to talk to you about surrendering your life to Jesus. Just call us or check in with us on Facebook or through email, whatever the case may be. We'd love to talk to you. Let's pray together. Most gracious Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your greatness. I thank You for Your grace. I thank You for Your love and Your compassion. I thank You for moms. And I pray that they'd have a blessed day. I pray that You'd give them wisdom, You'd give them strength, You'd give them courage to do what they need to do to raise their children in difficult times. And Lord, for those moms that have already raised their children, I thank You for them. And I pray that You would bless them as maybe they're raising grandchildren now. I pray for them. Lord, I just lift up everyone to You. And I pray for those that's hearing this message today that might need a touch from You, that might need to surrender their life to You. I lift them up before You. It's our prayer in Jesus' precious name. Amen.